thing.
Sarvesham Suprabhatam Yoga Sutra Paricheya Vargasya Chaturvimshaha Vargaha Mangala Shlokena Arambha Prarthana Shlokena Arambham Kurmaha Yogena Chittasya Padena Vacham Malam Sharirasya Javaidyakena Yopakarottam Pravaram Muninam Patanjalim Pranjaliranatosmi. So we'll do the review of the previous class briefly. Predominantly, we discussed only two concepts in the previous class. Trayaha Chitta Parinamaha. The three kinds of modifications that the mind undergoes during the higher states that are reached by the practice of Samadhi. One is Nirodha Parinamaha, the second one is Samadhi Parinamaha, and the third one is Ekagrata Parinamaha. Nirodha Parinamaha happens at the level of Samskara. Vitthana Nirodha Samskara Yoho Abhibhava Pradurbhavo. Vitthana Samskaras become subdued, and Nirodha Samskaras are awakened or strengthened, then the next changes. So only when the changes at the level of Samskara happens, then the mind can move from the worldly plane to the higher plane. So the first Parinama happens at the level of Samskara. Uthana Nirodha Samskara Yoho Abhibhava Pradurbhavo Nirodha Parinamaha. And then slowly the mind reaches or touches the Samadhi state. So what happens in the state of Samadhi is that Sarvarthata Ekagratayoho Kshayodayo. So the mind then gradually, as the samskaras are now under control, then what happens is the mind changes its nature from being receptive to various things outside. It now becomes single pointed. Ekagratayoho Kshayodayo. Sarvarthatayaha kshayaha, ekagratayaha udayaha. So that happens during the Samadhi Parinama. And then the third one or the third Parinama that happens to the Chitta is the Ekagrata Parinama, where Shantoditau Tulya Pratyayau Ekagrata Parinamaha. The Shanta Pratyaya, or the thought that has just appeared and disappeared in the mind, and Udita, the mind, the thought that has just arisen in the mind. So the past and the present thoughts, when they are of the same form, when they are absolutely identical, then it is called as Ekagrata Parinamaha. So these are the three basic modifications that the mind undergoes during the state of Samadhi. And then as the modifications of the mind were explained during the states of Samadhi, the modifications that happen at the level of the Bhutas and also the Indriyas. Bhutas, the elements and the things that are made up of the five elements, the things outside. And Indriyas, the senses that grasp those elements. So their modifications are also stated, dharma, lakshana and avastha parinamas. As the chitta has nirodha parinama, samadhi parinama and ekagrata parinama, the senses outside or the objects outside and also the senses that grasp those objects have dharma, lakshana and avastha parinama. One difference that has to be noted here is the three modifications that were stated relating to chitta is during the state of samadhi or during those final stages where the chitta is slowly moving into the state of samadhi. Here the with regard to the bhutas and the indriyas, dharma lakshana avastha parinama keep happening. It is not related to samadhi. So this clear difference has to be understood. So dharma lakshana avastha parinamaha. So dharma parinamaha, to take an example of the objects outside, dharma parinamaha is changing of characteristics of a thing. Earlier it was mud, a lump of clay. Now it has become a pot. That is dharma parinamaha. Such dharma parinamas keep happening. A conscious change that has come about in a thing outside. That is dharma parinamaha. Lakshana parinamaha is the change of time. It was a thing of past yesterday, the part of yesterday and the part of today. So the part that existed in previous yesterday and the part that existed that is existing now in the present. So change happens in objects with reference to time. So that is lakshana parinama. It was the part of the past and now it is the part of the present. So change with respect to the time is referred to as lakshana parinama. And avastha parinama is also the change that happens every second in the object. Changes do happen. They are constant. Some changes are noticed. Some changes consciously are noticed. For example, a pot being changed into clay, a lump of clay getting changed into mud, which is a change which is affected from an external agency, affected by an external agency, that is dharma parinama. Whereas an object keeps changing every second that exists. A book becoming older, it was fresh and new 10 days ago. I keep reading it and then changes happen in it. And in a year's time, it becomes old. So that happens because of the change that happens every second, which is noticed only at the end of the change. That is avastha parinama. So this avastha parinama, as it happens in the bhutas, this lakshana parinama or dharma parinama parinama, as these are applicable to the bhutas or the things made of elements and elements outside.
Mahodaya?
Yes. Hello.
I thought we were
So as it is, as these dharma lakshana avastha parinamas happen in the bhutas, the dharma lakshana avastha parinamas happen in the indriyas also. Now, why were these two parinamas stated in the vibhuti pada? The thing is, these are the subtle workings that are there at the level of the mind, at the level of the senses, and at the level of the things outside. But a yogi should notice all these things. And when he notices, and as you will see in the later portion, in whichever aspect of these modifications he channelizes his mental faculty, then he would be able to know all about a particular thing. So to know deeper about things in the world, all these changes are to be noticed and focused upon by a yogi. So that is why these are mentioned. This is one reason. And as I stated earlier, one of the commentators, that is Sadashiva Brahmendra, he states that this sutra, these two sutras which discuss the Dharma Lakshana Avastha Parinama, and also the sutras that discuss Nirodha Parinama, Samadhi Parinama and Ekagrata Parinama, indicate that things are never stable. They keep changing. We say, oh, the mind is calm and focused. But even in a focused mind, in an ekagra chitta also, the thoughts are continuously flowing. But the only thing is, they are identical with each other, absolutely identical with each other. So, change or modification or activity or restlessness is there. There is no rest. There is no stoppage of activity, even at the highest stage of samadhi. So, that is brought about by as activity or change, as things are a flux in the level of bhutas and indriyas. Similarly, even at the level of mind, even though it fine tunes to higher stages, activities do happen at a subtler level. So, change does happen. So, to reach the changeless Purusha, one has to shed all these things. To shed all these things, one has to know that all these exist. So, to serve that purpose, all these subtle modifications that happen at the level of mind and the body and the senses and also the things world that exist in the world outside are brought about. So, that is the purpose of the Chitta Parinamas and the Dharma Lakshana Avastha Parinamas. So, this is the thing we discussed in the previous class. Now, we move into the next portion.
Could I just ask one thing?
Yes, please.
What I wasn't sure now, but you were meaning as a difference between Parinama and Avastha.
Okay.
Was it Parinama or did I say Avastha? Lakshana, sorry. Lakshana and Avastha. They seem to be similar, and I just wanted to see the distinction between Lakshana Parinama and Avastha Parinama.
Yes. Lakshana Parinama means Lakshana Parinama does not affect any physical change in the object. It is only the change that happens in terms of time. For example, I simply say, I saw this book yesterday and now I see this book today. Which means, the time which was associated with the book has changed. That is Lakshana Parinama. For example, yesterday I saw it, so and now I am recollecting it. And now I am seeing the book, the same book here. Which means that today I associate, or the time which is associated with this book is the present, now. The book that I am seeing now is associated with the present tense, the current time. And then the same book which I saw yesterday was associated with the present of yesterday, which means when I recollect it, it becomes past for me. So, the time with which the book which was associated yesterday is different from the time with which it is associated today. So it is only in terms of time. So the time has changed from the past to the present. So that is Lakshana Parinama. Lakshana Parinama does not speak about change in the object as such. Whereas
right.
only its connection to the time is being indicated by the Lakshana Parinama. Whereas Avastha Parinama indicates the subtle changes that happen in things every second. For example, when I say a pot has become old, I didn't touch it, I didn't use it, I have not made any changes to the pot. But over a period of time, what happens is it becomes old, or it becomes, or it crumbles. Even if I simply touch it, it crumbles. Why? Because when it was fresh, it was good. Gradually, as every second progresses, the pot internally weakens. That internal weakening of a particular thing over a period of time, that is called as Avastha Parinama, which is not noticed at a gross level. But it the changes happen every second. So over a period of time, the change gets manifest. The new thing becomes old. So that is Avastha Parinama. I hope it's okay.
Yeah, so you're saying Lakshana, actually, you're not looking at any change in the item whatsoever. It's
only the change in the time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we move ahead with the Dharma, Dharmi and Krama. Now, why this Dharma, Dharmi and Krama, these concepts came? It is because in the previous sutra, the dharma, lakshana, avastha, parinamas were mentioned. So dharma, the change in the characteristics affected by an external agent. For example, a clump of mud or clay, a lump of clay being changed into a pot is the dharma parinama. So that dharma was mentioned. So then it becomes there needs to be an explanation on what is dharma, what is dharmi, and krama. Dharma has actually been mentioned dharma in the context of dharma parinama, but dharmi has to be mentioned here. That is, and the krama. These are the two points. Dharmi and krama are the two focal points in this sutra, in the 14th and 15th sutras. Now, dharma resides, actually this sutra has arisen because of the various, the Buddhist and other views. The discussion is very detailed in Vyasa Bhashya. A long commentary comes to this portion. I'm not going into it, as this is only a Parichaya, Yoga Sutra Parichaya class. I'm not going into that. When we take up Vyasa Bhashya as such, we can discuss all those points. The only thing is, the other schools, like the Buddhist schools, do not accept a dharmi, in the sense that everything is a flux and nothing is constant. But when you see what is a dharmi, you will see that there is something constant in the world outside also, even when the change is happening. So only then we can recognize a continuity of a particular thing. So the sutra defines dharmi, shanta udita avyapadesha dharma anupati dharmi. Shanta, the past characteristic. Shanta dharma, udita dharma and avyapadesha dharma. There are three dharmas, three kinds of characteristics of that are there. For example, let's again take the example of a Or we can take the example of a cloth. Previously it was cotton. Let's take the example of a cotton cloth. So the cotton, whatever is the it was previously cotton, whatever is the thing, the dharmi, it was previously cotton, and now when the cotton is spun, then it becomes threads. And later, when these threads are joined together and woven together, then it becomes a cloth. So these are the three stages: cotton, the threads, and then the cloth. So previously it was harvested as cotton. So it is Shanta Dharma. Now currently, what is its state? From the cotton, it has now been changed into threads due to processing. And now, why are these threads made? Only to create a cloth out of it. But it has not yet come. It has not yet been done. So, Shanta means the characteristic of the past. Whichever is the thing, in that, what was the past characteristic? It being a cotton. Now, Udita. Now, what is the change in the characteristic that has arisen? Udita means to arise. What is the characteristic that has arisen now? Is from being a cotton, it has become threads. So, this is the current state of the particular thing. And now, why has this been made into threads? Why has the cotton been made into threads to make it into cloths? Which is yet to be made. So, avyapadeshya. Yet to be made. Avyapadeshya. Which indicates that the undescribable. Avyapadeshya. The one that cannot be denoted. Why is the future characteristic of a particular thing cannot be denoted? Because from the same thread, it can become anything. I can simply club those thread and make a bigger rope out of it, or I can weave it into a cloth. So anything may happen from the current state, or it may be burnt and it can turn into ashes. So it is avyapadesh, undenotable. The future is unpredictable and hence it is undenotable. It's a beautiful term, avyapadesha, but generally it means the future state. So Shanta, the past state of a thing. Udita is the current state of a thing. And avyapadesha, the future state of a thing. So these are the three dharmas: Shanta Dharma, Udita Dharma, and Avyapadesha Dharma. And Anupati, that which abides in all these three stages, is called as Dharmi. We cannot denote that Dharmi directly because it is identified only by, we still say it is the same thing. The same thing was the cotton, the same thing has now become the thread, and the same thing may change into a cloth. So that same thing is the one which abides or which continues to exist even when there is change in the characteristic of a thing. So that is denoted as Dharmi. So this is the sutra which indicates the Dharmi. And the Yoga Sutras, if you go deeper into the commentaries, they say that this Dharmi also has a relative constancy. See, this Dharmi exists even when the dharmas change. But See, these dharmis will also undergo changes when there is a massive change, higher change. So these dharmis are part of the whole, and then when the, and these are not absolute, these are not absolute things which keep existing. Their true form is the prakriti. Their true form is these dharmis can further be broken down into finer particles. We know that in the creation process of Sankhya, it is prakriti, mahat, ahankara, all those things. So these dharmis are also relatively constant and not absolutely existing, because only the absolute thing which exists without change is the Purusha. Though Yoga Sutra accepts this dharmi, something which is constant among the changing characteristics of things outside, but this dharmi is not absolutely changeless, or else if it is accepted that way, then the very fundamental theory of yoga and Sankhya come under question. There will be many constants. Only the Purusha is constant. And hence, the commentaries make it clear that these dharmis are only relatively constant. So long as the creation exists, they will exist. If the creation is creation gets dissolved, all these dharmis simply vanish. So that is the limited constancy of the dharmis. The absolute constant element is Purusha and none other than Purusha. But as long as the world exists, as long as the creation exists, the dharmis are there. So they are the ones which abide by the changes, abide even when there are changes in the dharma. That point is brought about. And again, these dharmis, the dharma-dharmi difference, again, yogi, if he, as you will see later in the description of siddhis, yogi should be aware of the dharma-dharmi difference. And then when he meditates upon the Shanta Dharma, Udita Dharma and Avyapadesha Dharma of the Dharmi, then he comes to know about the past, present and future of any particular thing. So to clarify all those things, these basics are set out in the beginning. So a yogi becomes Trikala Jnani, a knower of the three times, past, present and future. How does he become that? How he attains the capability? He has, as he channelizes his mind upon the Shanta, Udita and Avyapadesha Dharmas, he becomes aware of the past, present and future. So, to explain all those things, this Dharma-Dharmi classification is presented. And another point is Krama. When I spoke about Udita and Avyapadesha, the term Avyapadesha actually is an indicator of the Krama. Krama is sequence. Now, from the same object, from the same basic element, various things emerge. But how does this variety emerge? The base material, for example, carbon. We know various things are made up of carbon, the paper or anything that we have. It is, for example, I may be wrong, if carbon is the base material, paper is also made out of carbon. And the diamond is also made up of carbon. So how from the same base material various things emerge? So to explain that, the next sutra comes Kramanyatvam Parinamanyatve Hetuhu. Parinama, the final change. The final change of various things. The final modification that we see in various things. Or variety, or there is a variety in the things that emerge because of the change in the sequence. See, there is a sequence in the emergence of anything. As we see, churnat pinda. In the example of a ghata or a pot, it was initially dust, and then it becomes a pinda or a clump. Water is added, it becomes a pinda. From the pinda, the kapala emerges. Kapala is the two hemispheres. There are various ways in which pot is made. The potter directly puts the lump of clay on a wheel, and then he turns it, and then he makes a pot directly. That is one way. The other way is creating two hemispheres, kapala, and then fusing them together into a pot. That is also exists. That way is also there. So initially it was dust, and then churna or powder, and then it becomes a lump, and from there pindat kapalaha. From there it becomes the hemispheres, the two equal halves, and from kapala it becomes ghata or the pot. When the two kapalas are fused together, it becomes ghata. So there is a sequence in emergence of any object. So from the same churna, from the same powder, I may also create a toy elephant. Some toy I can create. For that, the churna, yes, should become pinda, the lump. From pinda, it need not change into kapala. It can be modified in a different way. The various limbs of the elephant, the toy elephant, the mud elephant, which I would desire to create, they will be created. The avayavas, or the limbs of the animal, or the toy animal that I am desirous of making, that will be the sequence here. And from there, those limbs are fused together to make the toy elephant. So the sequence, so it is the same thing, it is the churna, it is the same powder, powdery mud. But when there is a change in the sequence, then what happens is the output is different. If this sequence is followed, it leads to the pot. If another sequence that starts with churna happens, it leads to a pot. It leads to a toy. And if I follow another sequence, it will lead to the creation of a plate made of mud. So it is only the change in the sequence. Though the dharmi, or though the basic material is the same, as there is a change in the sequence, based on the change in the sequence, the things that emerge out of them are also varied in nature. So this is just an explanation, or it's a contextual question that comes. So when this point was mentioned from Udita, why is it called as Avyapadesha? The future is unpredictable, because from the current state I may change the sequence, and hence the thing may change. So this change in sequence make the future avyapadesha, undenotable. So, and this undenotable future, or the undenotable nature of the future state, also leads to the creation of various things. So this is just a contextual question that comes out of the discussion on Udita and Avyapadesha. So this is the krama. So because there is a change in the sequence, the objects are also varied in nature. So the yogi should also notice that if the yogi is able to reverse or change the sequence by his powers, then he can materialize anything out of anything. That is also one possible expression as to why this krama is included in the discussion here. So a yogi should be aware of the changes that happen in the mind, nirodha parinama, samadhi parinama, and ekagrata parinama. The yogi should be aware of the changes that the objects outside and the senses undergo, dharma, lakshana, and avastha parinama. The yogi should also be aware of the process of the evolution of various objects outside, so that channelizing his psychic powers, he can make or effect changes anywhere that he desires at a subtle level using the power of his mind. So that's why it is purvarangaha, the preparatory points, siddhyartham, which are essential. So when he is aware of all these subtle workings of the world outside, he can be capable of effecting changes in the world outside. To explain that, or to create the basis of all the miraculous changes that a yogi can effect, all these basics of dharma, dharmi, krama, dharma lakshana, avastha, parinama, and all the nirodha, samadhi, and ekagrata parinamas were mentioned. Now, we move into the siddhis as such. So, after all the preparatory explanations, from the Sutra 16, which is the fourth unit, according to me, in the third pada, we move into the siddhis themselves. So, these siddhis happen only when a person achieves dharana, dhyana, and samadhi. So, without those, these can only be of academic interest. So, for those who have achieved the state of dharana, dhyana, and samadhi, all these are possible. Or else, these becomes just a textual study. So, parinama traya sanyamat atitanagata jnanam. The term sanyama is to be noted. Sanyama was introduced in the first portion of this third pada. Sanyama is a term which collectively indicates dharana, dhyana, and samadhi on any given object. So, in all the sutras that continue, the focus of the sanyama will be mentioned, and then the benefit of the sanyama will also be mentioned. So, that is the pattern in the sutras that you will see henceforth. Sanyama on what? Parinamatraya. What will this sanyama give? Atita anagata jnanam. So this is the pattern you will get. So even in the next sutras also, it is the same pattern. The focus of the sanyama and the result of that sanyama. Now what is this sutra mentioning? Parinamatraya sanyamat atita anagata jnanam. So sanyama, dharana, dhyana, samadhi on parinamatraya, the three parinamas are dharma, lakshana, and avastha parinamas. Nirodha, samadhi, and ekagrata parinamas also exist, but Vyasa states that the three parinamas indicated here is the dharma, lakshana, avastha parinamas that happen in the bhutas and the indriyas. These are mentioned here, by the term or denoted here by the term Parinamatraya. So based on the Parinamatraya Sanyama, when a yogi is successful in doing Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi on Parinamatraya, then what he achieves is Atita Anagata Jnanam. Atita Jnanam, Anagata Jnanam. Knowledge of the past and knowledge of the future. Knowledge of that which is yet to come. So because everything is made up of these Parinama Trayas, Dharma, Lakshana and Avastha Parinamas, so if a person focuses on those, Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi, he does, then he achieves the past and past knowledge of those objects and the future knowledge of those objects. And the one thing is, as these are beyond our current understanding, this may sound impossible, but for those who have reached that state, it has to be stated that it is possible. Some people might have seen yogis who profess or who see the future in the real sense, not the bogus ones I am speaking. So it is because of the Parinama Traya Sanyama that they are capable of seeing the past and the future. Now, this is the 16th Sutra on Atita Anagata Jnanam. The next one, Shabdartha Pratyayanam Itaretaradhyasat Sankarah Tatpravibhaga Sanyamat Sarvabhuta Ruta Jnanam. Shabda, Artha and Pratyaya. Shabda is word, Artha is the object, and Pratyaya is the notion or the thought about the object in the mind. What happens is, when on any object, these three exist. Shabda, when I say a book, the word book exists, and then the object that the word book denotes, that exists, and the knowledge or the notion about the book in the mind exists. But normally in the normal course of our life, we do not differentiate between these three. Shabda is at the level of verbal expression. Artha is a physical entity. The object is a physical entity. And whereas the jnana is a mental modification. So these three actually belong to different planes. Shabda, Artha and Jnana. But what happens in our normal day-to-day transaction, all these are mixed up. That's what the sutra says. Shabda, Artha, Pratyayanam, Itaretara, Adhyasat. When we mention a Shabda, immediately the object appears. When we recollect about a Shabda, when the Pratyaya of the Shabda is there, then immediately the object arises. So there is a mutual superimposition of the Shabda, Artha and Pratyaya of on any given thing. So this is how knowledge, this is how things are interconnected. Lots of thoughts, memories, all these happen because of the interconnection between Shabda, Artha and the Jnana or the Pratyaya. So there is a superimposition and interconnectedness between these. But Tat Pravibhaga Sanyamat, when a yogi does a Sanyama on the difference between the Shabda, Artha and Pratyaya, then what happens is Sarvabhuta Ruta Jnanam. He is capable of understanding whichever sound that is produced. Sarvabhuta, all the animals or the birds, the knowledge about all that is gained. So when a person goes to the level of differentiating Shabda, Artha and Jnana, and not only he intellectually differentiates them, when he does a dharana, dhyana and samadhi on those three, the difference between shabda, artha and jnana, no sound is unintelligible for that person. As he has gone into the subtler realm of shabda, artha and jnana, any sound that is presented to him gives the meaning. We see in the Puranas and Itihasas, yogis and sages are capable of understanding the conversation of the various animals. There is a story in Ramayana which even says that Kaikeyi's father or Kaikeyi's mother understood the language of the ants, and she laughed something, and because of that a curse came upon her, all those things. So this sounds, when he at the deeper level of the sounds, when he differentiates shabda, artha and jnana, all the sounds that are presented to him of the various animals, they make sense to him. When a crow is cawing, or when the dog is barking, or the cow is moving, he knows the meaning of it, why it does. As he has gone into the deeper realms of the sound, he realizes all these things. That is the sarvabhuta ruta. Sarvabhuta, various animals, all the animals, ruta, the sounds or the cry, jnanam, knowledge. So that is attained by shabda, artha, pratyaya, pravibhaga, sanyama. So that is what is attained in the second siddhi. And then the third one is samskara sakshat karanat purva jati jnanam. Now the sanyama is on the samskaras. So the object of sanyama is my voice heard? There is,
yes,
yeah,
very well.
There is audio is clear? Fine. Okay. Samskara sakshat karanat purva jati jnanam is the next sutra. When the sanyama is done upon the samskaras, then what we gain is purva jati jnanam. So what is samskaras? What are samskaras? Samskaras are the impressions. Vyasa says that the samskaras are of two kinds. One are the samskaras which are in the form of the vasanas. Smriti klesha hetavaha vasana rupaha. Some samskaras are all of the nature of manifesting smriti and kleshas. Smriti is memory and kleshas. And then some other samskaras are there. The second type of samskaras is vipaka hetavaha dharma dharma rupaha. The other classification of samskara is those that lead to the punya papa phala. So these are the two kinds of samskara. Whatever action we do, they are stored in two forms. Depending upon the ethical nature of the action, it is either punya samskara or papa samskara. And it is also, the same action also creates a cognitive impression as a memory. And that cognitive impression as memory is also the one which kindles our kleshas. So these are the two kinds of samskaras that we possess. One that is in the form of vasanas that lead to memory and the kindling of the kleshas, that is one type. And the other samskara is judgmental, whether this is punya or papa. When a yogi is capable, these samskaras are nothing but the attributes of the mind that we have. all these two kinds of sanskaras are present in the same software inside. So, when a yogi actualizes these two kinds of samskaras by his dharana, jhana and samadhi, what happens is, when did this samskara, when did a particular samskara got impressioned in my mind, that gets to be known. So the time in which these samskaras were imprinted in the mind is known. So the time, the concept, the circumstance and the things associated with that imprinting of the samskara is known, which is nothing but the knowledge of the past birth, purva jati jnanam. So when the appearance or when the time and circumstance of the creation of any samskara is actualized or realized by yogi, then all that is associated with the past is known, because samskaras belong to the past. Samskaras are samskaras because they happened in the past. They are the records of the, they are like the black box of all the past activities. Nothing gets lost. Everything is stored in the form of samskaras. So by doing dharana, dhyana and samadhi on these two types of samskaras, what one achieves is a clear knowledge of the past. Past, not only the past birth, not only the past aspect of this birth, but even the previous births are also known. Samskara sakshat karanat purva jati jnanam. And then next one, pratyayasya parachitta jnanam. Now when dharana, dhyana and samadhi are done on the pratyaya, then what happens is the parachitta jnanam is attained. What is pratyaya? Pratyaya is the vritti. Pratyaya is nothing but the chitta vritti. When dharana, dhyana and samadhi are done on the mere chitta, any chitta vritti, then what happens is that if one goes deeper about any chitta vrittis as such, by practicing dharana, dhyana and samadhi, one goes into the subtler realms of dharana, dhyana, subtler realms of any chitta vritti, that of his own mind. In his own mind, if he does dharana, dhyana, samadhi on any chitta vritti, then it reveals all the chitta vrittis of people that are around him. So he can immediately know what is there in the mind of the people there. Parachitta jnanam. So as the truth behind the working of the chitta vritti is unraveled by dharana, dhyana and samadhi, on the same wave or the vritti which is there in the other's mind is also grasped. Parachitta jnanam. But there is an interesting thing here. Parachitta jnanam here refers to, the commentator differentiates the meaning here. Parachitta jnanam, because there is another sutra, natat sala, the next sutra forces to make this clarification. Natat salambanam tasya avishayi bhutatvat. Now, when the chitta vrittis, the sanyama and the chitta vrittis are done, what is gained is parachitta jnanam. What is this parachitta jnanam? Parachitta jnanam has a limited sense that not everything in the mind of the other person is known, everything that is current in the mind. See, as the Sanyama is only on the current Chitta Vritti, so anything that is current in the mind of the person, the other person, is known. But there is a limitation to that also. Only the emotion that is there in the Chitta Vrittis is grasped. Because Natat Salambanam. Only a person may not facially or physically express his emotion, but a yogi, by this Pratyaya Sanyama, he may understand the hidden emotion or the emotion that is currently there in his mind, in the mind of the other person. But the limitation here is the yogi cannot know as to what caused that current state of emotion in the mind of the other person. He will only know whether that person is happy or he is burning inside with anger or anything like that. Only the state of the mind, whether it's a sorrow, anger or anxiety or happiness, that will be known. But the source of the sorrow, the source of anxiety or the source of happiness will not be known. Na tat salambanam. The source or the support from which that mental state is achieved, that will not be attained by the yogi, because it is only upon the current vritti is that he has done sanyama. So whichever is the object of sanyama, only that will be revealed to the yogi, and that which is associated with that will be revealed. And not everything will be revealed. So, only the state of the mind, the state of the emotion of the other person's mind is known, and not the object is known. The other commentators clarify that this means if a yogi practices sanyama on a chitta vritti along with the object that caused the chitta vritti, on any object that has caused the chitta vritti, with the alambana of the chitta vritti or the source of a chitta vritti, he does sanyama both on the chitta vritti and also the source of the chitta vritti, then what happens is a yogi becomes capable of not only reading the emotional state of the other person's mind, but also the cause of that particular emotional state of the other person's mind. So that is the parachitta jnanam. Normally people understand the emotion of others by simply looking at their body language, but if a person camouflages his deeper emotions, still a yogi can make it out by doing this pratyaya sanyama. He knows the state of the mind, state of the emotions of the mind which are current in the mind. And if he goes deeper, he can also know the object that caused the current state of the mind of the other person. So this is pratyayasya sanyamat parachitta jnanam natat salambanam tasya avishayi bhutatva. Okay. Now, we stop the session here. There is a question. Does anagata jnanam mean only knowledge of inanimate object, or does it include also human beings, etc., next gen? Of course, it is not only in the level of if the Parinama Traya Sanyama is done, the Parinama Traya belong to the Bhutas and the Indriyas. And as we have just discussed, whichever is the object of the sanyama, only that is revealed. If the object is the mind itself, then all the past, present and future states of the mind will be revealed. And also, if the here in Parinamatraya Sanyama, with in connection to Parinamatraya Sanyama, the Parinamatraya is associated with only the bhutas and the indriyas. So, the Anagata Jnana is also referring to the Anagata or the future state of the bhutas and indriyas, and it does not deal about the chitta. So, in connection with the 16th sutra that discusses about Parinamatraya Sanyama and Atita Anagata Jnanam, that does not speak about the future life, as it is associated only with the past, present and future of the senses and also the objects outside. Okay. In other sutras, you may get about if the sanyama is done on the chitta, the mind, the various aspects of the chitta, then the future, the knowledge of the future lives will also be known. Okay. For example, the samskaras which were mentioned here, and later you will get a sutra, sopakramam nirupakramam cha karma, tatsanyamat, all the past, present and future are revealed. It comes in a later sutra. Okay. So, yes. The last class has not yet been uploaded. That will be uploaded soon. And the two papers Prayatna Shaitili and Ananta Samapatti. This weekend, it will certainly be uploaded. So, we conclude the class here with the Prarthana Shloka. Yogena chittasya padena vacham malam sharirasya cha vaidyakena yopakarottam pravaram muninam patanjalim pranjaliranatosmi. Dhanyavada. Shubhadinam. Dhanyavada Pal Mahodaya.
Dhanyavada Jayaraman.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. Okay, right. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.